Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today, and we give you praise and thanksgiving. Rise up within us big with utterance, insight, and revelation from your word.
Amen.
And I pray over all of the people in the sound of my voice, wherever they may be, all over the world watching this broadcast. We thank you for it, and we praise you for it in the name of Jesus, and we ascribe all of the glory and all the praise to your matchless name, sir. And it's in your name we pray and believe we receive it. Amen.
Yeah.
Now,
take it.
Somebody tune in and say, where in the world are you? Well, we're right here on the shores of Eagle Mountain Lake in Fort Worth, Texas, on the ministry property here. And we do this every year at our prayer cabin in Southwest Arkansas. Excuse me, but they've done a lot of badly needed work up there. And we've replaced all of the wood. Now, we started that place, putting it together in the 70s. And now all of that wood and stuff rotted out. Well, they replaced it with steel. We'll never have to do that again. And the little fence and gate around behind it on the back deck, it's now pretty and white just like it used to be, except it's steel. It'll never rot out again. They painted it with automotive paint, so it's pretty white, you know. You can get out there and take some polish and shine it. And she can do that. She likes to shine things anyway. So, no. Anyway, I just wanted you to know why we're not there. So, we're right here in Fort Worth. And it's windy. And it's cool. And let's get started. So, we're talking about prayer. And let's go back to the book of Numbers. I really do like this scripture. In Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? This is his word. The apostle Peter said, he's given us exceeding great and precious promises. These are covenant promises. This first covenant was in the blood of animals, then in the blood of a man by circumcision, and God changed his name by putting his name in the middle of his. And from Abram, he became Abraham, and the H in the middle of that name is, in Hebrew, Hashem, the name. Glory to God. So he is a covenant friend of God from that point on. Now, and we go into this in what's been called the Last Supper. It was the last Seder meal before Jesus went to the cross, went to hell and paid the price for all of our sins. Glory to God. Wiped them out. And all we needed to do was receive him. Somebody said, you make it too easy. I didn't do that. He's the one that made it easy.
Yes,
he did. He suffered like no man ever suffered before or will since. But he could not and will not pray your prayer. or mine. Gloria and I were married 60 years ago this week in Little Rock, Arkansas. Well, now, 60 years ago, neither one of us had accepted the Lord. But now I'm going to tell you something. It was her precious love and her unconditional love that softened my heart to the place where I'd had a real bitter nature about me until the day I met her. I had made the dumb statement, I don't believe love is real, and if it is, I'm incapable of it. Well, I want to tell you something. In October 1961, that all blew right out of the tub. Because the first time I saw her, the first day I met her, all of that went away. And I fell in love with her.
Thank you.
And then on our first date, glory to God, my boss took over the fixed base operation in Camden, and so I went over there and asked her out on a date. And all of you have heard this before, but went back to her dad's house and walked up on the porch. I said, Gloria, will you marry me? She said, okay, and just walked in the house. That is it.
Asked him what he wanted, a movie or something.
She said, and if you got your Believer's Voice of Victory magazine for April, all that whole story is in there. And she got in the house. She said, what have I done? I don't even know this guy. I don't want to get married. I want to get a job and make some money. Oh, well, I'll get out of it later. Well, we just had our 60th wedding anniversary.
But I'm not out of it.
No, and we're going for 70. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, now, that is so good. Now, I want to... One of the reasons I brought that up, Gloria's love for me was so strong in the hard spots, and she never wavered. I don't care if I just, got mad and blew up. No, she just never wavered. And all of these 60 years, plus the 6 months that we knew one another before we were married, we have never, ever had an argument. We don't have time for that. And somebody said, well, you must have perfected the phrase, yes, dear. Well, yeah, I did, because she's right all the time. But no, that just never was required. We just never wasted any time arguing with each other. We just love one another. And I learned to do this. I learned that if I ever got irritated or something like that, I'd just catch hold of her and love her and say something like, well, could we talk about that? She said, yeah. That's just the way it's always been. But it's the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. But then 6 months later, we both accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and 3 months after that, we were filled with the Spirit. So, I want you to see this teaching of Jesus for those that haven't been with us. John, the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th chapters of John are all in this Last Supper, it's called. You could call it the Last Supper. You could call it the First Supper. It was the first time that our commandment as Christians came about. Right there it is in the 13th chapter. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men, men is in italics, or all people know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Then John would write that in his first letter, as we said, I believe it was yesterday, that we have known and believed the love that he has for us. Amen. And we believe it. I realized it. And I'll just turn over there and do this right now. In the 17th chapter, Jesus began to pray. And his closing prayer right before the 33rd verse of the 16th, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I remember a woman, I don't remember where we were. She just said, well, I know that Jesus said that. Obviously, I just read this. She said, I know that Jesus said that. But listen to what he said. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, and I'm going to tribulate. I don't know whether she even knew what tribulation was or not.
She will.
But she made a decision, and she's going to tribulate. And Jesus said, no, don't do that. Now,
where are you reading?
Let's come on over here in the 17th chapter of John.
Okay.
Jesus began to pray. So, and I realized I had just learned, I was still a student at Oral Roberts University, and I was home studying in that little house we had there that was rented by the university. Of course, we paid the rent on it, but they found it for us. Just a little project house. I was walking around the room there, and I said, I just learned about the prayer of agreement. I said, I'm going to agree. Jesus prayed right here. I didn't know about what all of this was all about back then. I was just finding out. Because when I was a scripturally illiterate. And Gloria was too. I said, Gloria, had you noticed that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the same story? She said, yes, isn't that wonderful? And T.L. Osborne said, Copeland, you were born free. I said, free of what? He said, free of any religious background. And we were. The first messages we ever heard were about faith. First, Oral Roberts talked about faith. He talked about releasing your faith. He talked about send your faith up to God. And he said things like, don't touch them till you're ready to release your faith. Yeah. And then we've got our first tape of Kenneth E. Hagin, and he began to tell us what faith is, how faith is. And I decided, I'm going to agree with all this. So, and I came in, you know, and here, and oh, I agree. Oh, yes. And given, oh, I agree. And oh, this life eternal that we might know thee and only the truth. Oh, I agree. Oh, glorified, yes. Oh, and I've given them words which you gave me, and they've received. Oh, look at that. Glory in the 8th verse. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee and that they believe that thou didst send me. I pray for them. And then I kept reading, and it came on down. Oh, isn't this good? I disagree. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they're not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. I pray that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. Oh, I agree. They're not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. Sanctify them through the... Oh, I agree. And as thou hast sent me, and even so I've sent them, for their sakes I might be sanctified. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I said, look at that. He was praying for me. Look at that. That they all may be one, that thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may... that the world may believe thou sent me. And the glory which... What? The glory? The glory which gave me, I've given them. Well, I don't know. Well, anyway, yeah, I received that. And them that thou in me... 23rd verse. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What? And you love them as much as you love me. And I just dropped my Bible down. And I said it out loud. I said, you mean to tell me that God loves me as much as he loved Jesus? I just don't know. I just don't know whether I can accept that or not. But I said, it's in the book and it's in red. I have to believe this. And I was trembling when I said it. And I was walking around that little room. God loves me as much as he does Jesus. And I was shaking all over. Just, God loves me. God loves Kenneth as much as he loved Jesus. God loves Kenneth as much as he loved Jesus. And I just walked through that room and around that room and run through the house saying it. God loves me as much as he does Jesus. God loves Kenneth. God loves Kenneth. God loves Kenneth. Well, God loves me. Glory to God. And then I just stopped and thought, well, certainly, number one, he is love. And I thought, well, now, wait a minute. What did he say back over here? What did he say in the 14th verse? Oh, there it is in 14th chapter. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him, and I'll manifest myself to him. And I thought, yeah, but God loves everybody equally. Yeah. But now, wait a minute. He just got through telling them, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. That's the commandment he's talking about. And it all came around together. God loves me, and I believe it.
Amen.
We got it. We got it. God loves me, and I believe it. God loves me, and I love him, and I do my best to walk in his commandments of love and anything else he tells you to do in here. And the moment I have any sense that I've missed it, that actually, when you look up the word sin, it just simply means to miss the mark. You missed it. Well, we missed it. Jesus never missed it, and God can't miss it. But we missed it. Well, that's taken care of in the covenant. It's part of this great covenant, these exceeding great and precious promises. Praise God. And it's all right here. As you get over into the first letter of John, the same one that was there that night and understood this, and he's called the apostle of love, and he outlived all of them. John was the one they couldn't kill. They tried and couldn't. So they threw him away. They exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. And what happened there? He wrote the book of Revelation. So it was John to the very end, glory to God. And he's the man hanging on the cross. Jesus' mother was right there. And he, from the cross, he said, behold, your mother, and behold, your son. And it was Peter, James, and John. James being the brother of John, the sons of Zebedee. Mm-hmm. Says a lot for their dad, doesn't it? Oh, glory to God. And here it is, right in here. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When? When we feel better about it? No, when we confess it. I was in a particular situation in a meeting years ago, and it was a hard meeting to start with, and I won't go into all that, but I got mad, and I was supposed to be in my prayer time, I wasn't mad, I was hurt, and I was mad too. And now, I didn't cuss. Don't get the idea that I did. But I said some things I shouldn't have said. I judged a man, and the Lord woke me up right then. And I said it out loud. I said, Lord, I'm not going back over there tonight. I'm not going to stick up my index finger and say, thus saith the Lord. I said, not after what I did and said today. No, sir, I'm not going over there. Get you another boy. And right here on the inside of me, he said, why? I said, what do you mean why? You know exactly why. And on the inside, I heard him again. Didn't you confess that sin? I said, yes, I did. He said, Kenneth, when you confessed it is not when I found out about it. Now, that came as a big revelation to me for some reason. But he said, now, and this changed my life forever. He said, when you confessed it, you got rid of it. It just lifted off me, and I began to praise God and thank Him for forgiving me and cleansing me from all unrighteousness. And I learned right then, and I'm still that way today, that I'm not forgiven when I feel better about it. I'm forgiven when I pray that in faith and I believe it. I believe He loves me. And because of this right here, I just hold this up to Him and say, look here, Lord, look here. This is what You said. And this is what I did. And I believe I received my forgiveness by faith because You said You're faithful and just to do it. And You've just cleansed me of that unrighteousness. Still feel like a dog. But thank God I'm forgiven. Thank God I'm free of it. And every time that feeling comes up on the inside of me, I say, no, that's not me. I didn't do that. What? You know good and well you did that. No, I'm innocent. No, I'm innocent of that. Why are you innocent? Because it's been written off of the books. Well, what if I did it again? Well, just get on your face in the floor and do it again. And you just stay there and stay there and stay there and whack that thing out of your life and realize that it's the devil. And then you go over here. Hang on just a second here, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience of thought when your obedience is fulfilled. Don't think about it anymore. Said, I don't touch that in my thought life. That is over. I confessed it. I received my forgiveness. I don't touch that. What did Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. No heart. You're not going to be troubled over that. No, that's over. That's done. I don't touch that in my thought life. Here it comes again. I said, I don't touch that in my thought life. And you just keep doing that. Just keep doing that. Just keep. And it'll get to where after a while, it just goes away because the devil realizes you have put this thought, you've made it captive. You've put it in prison. Amen. And we're out of time. We'll be back in just a moment.
Life can feel unstable. It can seem like there's no light to guide your way. But faith is the force that turns on the lights and changes your circumstance. In the audio series, Consistency, the Powerhouse of Faith, Kenneth and Gloria explain how you can develop unshakable, unswerving faith that will see you through to triumph in the most trying times. Scripture tells us that God is a solid rock to support you when you stand on or put your faith in Him. Living on the rock of revelation knowledge of who Jesus is and who you are in Him puts you in a position to be free no matter where you are or what's going on. Stand. Keep standing on that solid rock. With faith in God, you get the answer to every question for the rest of your life. The Word of God is light, and you are a child of the light. When you go out into the dark, it's not dark anymore. You shine, and those in darkness see that there is an answer. It is faith in God that keeps you in consistent victory. Faith is the spiritual force that can move mountains and change circumstances in your life. Request your free copy of Consistency, the Powerhouse of Faith, an audio series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Learn how to live in consistent victory. Go to kcm.org/victory offer or call 877-615-4267. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
God loved you so much that He sent Jesus to save you. Jesus paid the price that sin demanded. He went to hell in your place. And then God raised Him from the dead. He defeated sin and all the power of the enemy. Now, Jesus wants you to share in that victory that He won for you. You can have the victorious life that Jesus is offering you. All you have to do is receive Him as your Lord and your Savior. I want you to pray this after me. Say this out loud as I say these words. Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I speak with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is my Lord. And fill me, Father, with your precious Holy Spirit. And I will speak in another tongue as the Spirit gives me utterance. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you have just received the life-transforming power of God. And that power makes all things, everything, brand new. I want to welcome you to the family of God. The words that you spoke allowed God to transform your life. You have been born again. And we have a free resource called the Salvation Package to help you learn more about your new life in Christ. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And along with the book are brochures to help you get started reading and studying your Bible. Just contact us at kcm.org and we'll get it to you absolutely free.
Thank you, everybody, for joining Gloria and me on this broadcast today. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, remember this. God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord.